Hey everybody, it's the Goots cast for the it's the 24th, but right now it's the 25th. It's AEW versus NXT.
Oh yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, I was like, wait, when you told the date, I kind of was like, what's the date? And I was like, oh yeah, yeah.
It's the Wednesday night war, brother. We're at war. Four people are watching this fucking thing.
Man, 700,000 people are watching these wrestling shows.
Hey, let's start with NXT. And then we'll get into AEW later.
Okay, NXT, interesting show. Some stuff good, some stuff bad. We'll start off with the bad. Dexter Lumis versus Johnny Gargano. And Austin Theory's back. The whole way stable is there. And Johnny Gargano's like, hey, man, like, you're going to be okay? Austin Theory? All right, let's go out there. And this match is just pure garbage. They're doing this thing where Indy Hartwell is falling for Dexter Lumis. She's like, can't keep her eyes off Dexter Lumis. And she keeps like getting in this like haze. And Kenneth's like, what's wrong with you, girl? Step out of it. What's wrong with you? Austin Theory has an opportunity to hit Dexter Lumis with a chair, but he hesitates and doesn't do it. At the end, Dexter Lumis puts the silent sleeper on Johnny Gargano for the win. This is not somehow for the title. So Dexter Lumis wins without getting a title. What did you think of this?
I'm glad Dexter Lumis won, but and I like that Indy Hartwell was attracted to him. I don't know. I feel like Dexter Lumis needs to be in the main roster only because his gimmick is so weird that it would be better on Raw.
There was too much business going on in this match. There was too much like shenanigans. Like, oh, Indy's in love. Austin Theory's having like a change of heart, and I'm just like, you can, why can't you have this Dexter Lumis guy be this weirdo guy and just have him wrestle? Like, why does he have to have these mystical powers? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, did they even watch the show Dexter? Because Dexter was a regular, but
yeah,
I don't know about the Austin Theory falling for him too, but I liked Indy Hartwell falling for him.
Oh, you say you liked it.
Indy, not Dex, not the other kid.
Yeah, you liked Indy falling for him thing. Yeah. I just don't like
the way she backed up into the pole. I think maybe I'm wrong and she's just an idiot, but I think they're leaning into her just being a goofy fucking broad rather than like she's gonna be a great wrestler. And I think that's kind of what they have to do.
Yeah, that's fine with her. I just don't like it that like Dexter, he's not a demonic character, but he controls like zombies and shit. Like, why can't he just be like this creepy guy who you might think might be a serial killer who just wrestles? Like, why can't that just
I think you're right,
nobody's watched Dexter who works there.
No, they just saw like a picture of him, like, we'll just make it. I think that like they're also trying to come up with a new Undertaker secretly. They're not telling us because they don't want it to, they can't say to you this is the new Undertaker.
No, of course not. Yeah,
so they're like stealthily trying to like figure out if they can make a guy the new Undertaker. And I think him and Bray Wyatt are the two guys they're like hanging around with this idea.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're
they don't want to say it because the minute you say this is our new Undertaker, the guy's gonna like the fans are gonna turn on him.
Yeah, I think there was a time where they were even thinking like Aleister Black could be like the new Undertaker for a second.
I think Triple H thought that. Vince never thought that.
I think Aleister Black would have been a really good next Undertaker.
Yes, I did. I do too. But
yeah, because he wasn't goofy. There wasn't any of this goofy shit. Like Undertaker didn't start doing goofy shit in the first few years he was around. He never did goofy shit in the first few years.
They killed Aleister Black this summer so bad.
Oh, so bad, dude. When's the last time he's been on TV?
He lost to Kevin Owens, or he lost to Kevin Owens and he vanished. They went out of their way to make him look like shit.
Yeah.
And maybe the equivalent of
Ricochet.
If Undertaker lost to Hogan at Survivor Series 91 and then like was like, I'm sick of this Undertaker shit and became like a fucking truck driver or something. Like that's how bad they destroyed Aleister Black.
Yeah, they destroyed Aleister Black, yeah. Anyways, I didn't like this opening match, but the next thing I did like, it's an MSK video package of these guys winning the Dusty Classic and who they are. And it gets very emotional because Nash Carter starts talking about his dad and how when he was just a freshman in high school, guys, his dad passed away. I was like, oh my God, that's so sad. And how all it did was ignite his passion for wrestling even more because he used to watch Raw with his dad every Monday. And oh man, that was so emotional. Oh, I thought it was a really good video package. After the video package, they're about to get interviewed by Mackenzie, and then Grizzled Young Veterans beat the shit out of them. I like this video package. I thought it was a very good video package.
Yeah, I thought this was a great video package. The WWE has made these guys so much more likable. I couldn't stand these fucking guys back in Impact.
Yeah, it's true.
And it is shocking day and night how much I am into these guys compared to...
The tattoos. They just... You get background on these. Their real life story is way more interesting than any storyline they would come up with.
Or the fucking treehouse bullshit.
Yeah,
it's really good what they're doing with these guys. And because I fucking thought these guys were.
It's like when I watch this, and then I think back to like Trey Miguel giving an interview where he's like, "I chose to stay in Impact Wrestling." I'm like, "Did you really choose?" To stay in
Impact. Dude, the best thing he ever did was get rid of Trey Miguel. The best thing that ever happened to these two guys. Impact has it in their head, and I think there's the Impact had in their head when they were all there that Trey Miguel was a star, and they were beyond raw. They were like horrifically raw.
Like I had an opportunity to get paid spots, but I chose to stay and do check spots.
I chose to do the Grizzly Pair. Fuck it, I could have went on the road with Dane Cook, but I chose
to be. It's like it's night and day what's happening.
Yeah.
These guys are like they're. By the way, this video was like they heavily was like one day we're gonna become like NXT tag team champions. Like, like you know it's gonna happen based on this video. It's only a matter of time. Meanwhile, in Trey Miguel land, it's. Sammy Callahan doesn't think I have any passion.
He chose that, dude. He chose
it. Dude, oh my god, he fucked up so bad. Oh, he should have never tweeted those fucking things he tweeted. I think that's the reason why he never got signed. Yeah. Okay, so then this part I liked as well. Leon Ruff is in the back. Like, this was like filmed in advance where he's getting checked out by the trainer. And then Malcolm Bivens just pops out of nowhere and he goes like, "Hey, I heard you're fine. How about if you're really fine and you know, if Swerve Scott didn't beat the shit out of you, how about you wrestle Tyler Rust if you're man enough and Ruff takes on the challenge?" I just like this because I like how Bivens just kind of pops out of nowhere every time these things happen. Yeah. You know, he's just crouching down and just stands up. Like, I just think that's really funny. He did that with Kushida. Remember Kushida? He was hiding behind a newspaper and he just pops out of nowhere. I just think that's really funny. But this is a stupid fucking segment because the second match is supposed to be Tyler Rust versus Leon Ruff. It never happens because Swerve Scott attacks Ruff and beats the shit out of him. Stupid. The match part was stupid. It's a no match.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't know why they think that Isaiah or Swerve Scott is good. Dude, Leon Ruff, Isaiah Swerve Scott, and the Adonis guy look like they got to do something to differentiate these dudes. I don't mean to sound racist, but they look like...
Well, I could differentiate them because I don't hate black people, so I can differentiate.
Isaiah's not really. Leon Ruff has done enough with the feud with Johnny Gargano, but these two, like, I don't either. What was the original name for the Adonis guy?
It was Tahuti Miles, which I love way better.
That's a better name. Better.
Yeah, the way better name.
I don't know.
Well, Swerve is doing more of a heel thing now. Tahuti Miles is. He's doing more of like a low rent Velveteen Dream, the way he moves around, like kind of like snake like and shit like that. But
yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah. No, I all joking aside, you're right. There needs to be some more differentiating between some of these guys. All their heels are kind of similar.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be like, there's not enough like Cameron Grimes like heels. All right, so then this part was very weird. They're showing William Regal earlier from like yesterday going to Zoe Stark and be like, "You really impressed me at your match last week. how about we give you an opportunity against Io Shirai? And she's like, yeah, I'll take it. And then there's going to be a promo from Zoe Stark, but something happens and the promo gets cut, like some kind of technical difficulties. I'm not sure if they did that on purpose or if
I thought they did it on purpose. I thought like that someone was going to come out and then it led to nothing. And I was
Yeah. So you 100% also agree that that was probably like an accidental thing, like a real accidental thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll just double checking. All right. Then we get the first of these Cameron Grimes DiBiase basketball things. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm just going to go through them like in one segment. Is that okay?
They were really funny.
All right, then you know what? Then maybe we should do it one at a time, each one. So Cameron Grimes, the first one, he shows on his cell phone the old clip of Ted DiBiase having this kid dribble a basketball and he kicks it out. But he cuts the video off before that kicking off part. Mm-hmm. And he goes up to some guy and he goes, I'll give you $1,000 if you could dribble a basketball 10 times. The guy does it. And then he's like, why did... But you can dribble a basketball 10 times. He goes, how did he not have to give him the money? And the guy was like, well, he kicked it out from under him. That's how he did it. And he's just like, oh, fuck. You know, like this fucking DiBiase guy. This first one I did like. I was like, yeah, that's kind of
funny. I thought this was really funny because like DiBiase, like, you know, DiBiase had the money. You know, he's fooling people. But the funny is this guy's so fucking stupid. He's like,
yes.
He thinks that, you know, he thought that for some whatever reason, nobody could dribble a ball. That was like what DiBiase's plan was. Like,
yeah.
He didn't know he had to kick the ball out. So it's just funny when he goes, I'll get you, DiBiase. And like,
yeah. This first one I did like. This first one I thought was funny. Because it's like, I watched the whole video. What?
Cameron Grimes. You know, I also liked it because like, sometimes they like repeat gimmicks and they don't acknowledge that they're repeating a gimmick.
Yes, that's a good point.
And this is the first time they're acknowledging like I'm rich, like Ted DiBiase, and like he tries to copy the gimmick and he's just horrible at it. That's really funny. Like, dude, he should try. Dude, next week he should try to get Tahuti Miles to be his Virgil.
Yeah, and then everybody's just like super like, dude, that's super like not cool. And he goes, why not? DiBiase did it. And
everyone's like, no, dude. Then he should try to make Ember Moon his Sapphire. Remember when Sapphire like
I remember
Sapphire. Dude, like just every week and he just gets the fucking shit kicked out of him. He's like, I don't understand all this work for Ted DiBiase.
So this first one, like I said, I thought was actually funny. Then we're going to go, you know, they say that Kyle O'Reilly, they show what happened with Kyle O'Reilly. He's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. He's going to be out. This was a work, guys. He was not actually hurt. They said that he got hurt from the steel steps. So this is a work, but he said he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
We're going to go to match number three. This is the Io Shirai versus Zoe Ryan.
Joey Stark.
Joey Stark match, and I actually thought this.
So you really... almost called her Joey Ryan.
Yeah, I know.
Imagine if Joey Ryan came out and said, "Touch my penis." I didn't read.
Joey Ryan would hire him. Your name is funny. Zoe Starks. Call her Joey Ryan. Zoe Starks versus Io Shirai. Io Shirai wins with the over the moonsault. Afterwards, Toni Storm comes out and she calls out Io Shirai and she wants a match with Io Shirai in 2 weeks. I like this match. This is a good match. I thought it was a little early to put Zoe Starks in there with Io Shirai, but because like you know, I would
so think too. But yeah, like yeah. she really had a good match. I think they got plans for her. I think they like her a lot. I like her a lot.
Yeah, I like this match too. But what I meant was like
it is too early. Yes.
Yeah, I would have built up to this, but I guess. They don't want to do that, but this was good. This was a good match. Mackenzie starts interviewing the Way stable as they're leaving. I hate the fucking name of the stable. And that's when they find out that both Indy Hartwell and Austin Theory like Dexter Lumis, which pisses off the Garganos. And they're like, Austin Theory, you're going to go see a therapist next week. So.
Oh, more sketches.
Do you think it's going to be like, that therapist who was talking with Team Hell No?
No, because that was Scorpio Sky.
No, wasn't it a white guy?
There was some therapist they used that was Scorpio Sky. Hold on.
No, I'm pretty sure it was a white dude. Doctor, it was a white dude.
Hold on. I'm checking. Yeah, Scorpio Sky was involved in those segments.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Well, what if Scorpio Sky jumps to be the he's like, listen, I'm gonna be a therapist, and he was just in the anger management class.
Yeah, yeah. There was this guy. He was like Doctor. I remember he had a goofy fucking name, like Doctor.
Team Hell No Doctor.
Yeah,
I think he was also for Sasha and Bayley when they were having problems.
Yeah, yeah, he came back. I remember him coming back. That's why I was like, this guy. I wonder if it's gonna be this guy again. Yeah, he came, like, he reappeared. I remember him reappearing. Well, whoever it is,
Dr. Shelby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There, if it's him again, I would pop. If it's him again, like, I would think that'd be funny as hell. So. At the start of the second hour, we have Cameron Grimes. Now he finally watched this video of Ted DiBiase kicking the fucking basketball. So he's going to do it, and he's going to kick the basketball. And he sees these three people, and he gets one girl. Yes, this black lady. Hey, can you dribble the basketball? And she goes, you mean like that Ted DiBiase thing? And he's just like, yeah, yeah, sure, whatever. Just dribble the basketball. And then she stands up, and she's humongous. And she like dribbles fucking around him basically, and she takes his money, and he gets all mad. He's like, Ted DiBiase. He was like, all right, it's okay. Yeah,
Ted DiBiase.
Yeah,
you know that woman signed, right?
Who is she? I felt like those three people were all.
She was signed. The only reason I know about her is because Dave Meltzer is claiming she's a better athlete than Sasha Banks. She worked for. Fuck, sorry, I'm having a break. She was a WNBA player.
Oh, I totally believe that. She's fucking...
The announcers even say, like, that. I think that was her introduction. So that's why I didn't mind the segment. Because, mm-hmm. like, they kind of introduced her as a character without, like...
Without making her look stupid as well. I like that. I like it when they do that, when they introduce people.
They did mention she... And then I realized that was the girl that Dave Meltzer talked about. It was like, Dave Meltzer's like, I don't know if Bianca Belair is the best athlete in the company. And Brian Alvarez was like, well, who's better? Well, there's a WNBA player they have in the PC Center. She probably is better. Because she was in the WNBA.
Oh, she legit was a former professional basketball player. She probably is dead.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. She was. Yeah, yeah. So that's why I think they did the I think part of the reason why they did the basketball thing was to make, you know, reference Ted DiBiase. I'll be surprised Ted DiBiase shows up in a week or two.
Yeah. They mentioned him so much. Cameron Grimes kept saying his name so much. I was like, I'm pretty sure Ted DiBiase is showing up.
Dude, funny. It'd be funny. Should I teach him how to be rich?
Yes, yes. I would love that. I would not be against that if Ted DiBiase is there for a couple of weeks.
Dude, remember how much I hated Cameron Grimes? Now I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah. I told you Cameron Grimes is a good character. You know what's good about him? He stands out in a brand that's full of bland people. They might all be good wrestlers, but a lot of them have like the same gimmicks.
Yeah, you know? And he's like so like he just like really like just sticks out and
yeah, he's such a throwback character. Like he's such a throwback gimmick that normally it's cheesy as fuck, but because it's so like it's so over the top, it's actually appealing. And it also doesn't hurt that he's actually a good wrestler. Because if he was a bad wrestler, too, it would just be like, ugh.
But yeah, yeah. Everything. But yeah, so I think this was to introduce her mm-hmm. and to not be forced. Like, instead of, like, her coming out, like, I play for the WNBA, and then she starts, like, dribbling.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like you can be like, oh, she's really good at basketball because Cameron Grimes trying to fuck with her. So
yes. We're going to go to match number four. It's Casey Canzaro versus Zaya Lee. This match ends with a ref stoppage. And afterwards, Zaya Lee beats up Casey some more. I didn't like this. This was stupid.
I liked it because I like seeing Xia Li beat the shit out of these two fucking idiots. So.
Oh, it made Xia Li look like a fucking badass.
Yeah, that's why, like, I liked it.
She was grabbing Casey by her hair and just dragging her back into the ring. I was like, Casey, one thing about her, she's willing to fucking put her body all over.
Well, here's my thing with Casey is that she should be likable, and she's just not likable.
No, but I like that she's willing to fucking just throw her body around.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. But I'm just saying, like, she's really hot. She's very athletic. She's very cute. But she's fucking not likable. I was so happy to watch Xia Li beat the fucking shit out of her.
It's so, probably, like, because of all her her Instagram shit.
Yeah, I think they should make her a heel. Yeah. Like, they should make her, like, a Karen, like, a very disingenuous person. Like, I really didn't
know what she was. Like, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I didn't like this. It was a stupid match.
I thought it was a good enchantment match. So,
yeah. Then we get a really good video package of Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez versus
Jamie. Yes, this was really good.
This was NXT UK levels of video package. Just like different, like, video styles, right? In the same fucking video package. Some fucking scenes are black and white and gritty. Some are like what do you call it? Like beauty shots. Some are just like straight up interviews. It was just like a mixture in one video package that made it look like it gave it a big fight feel. And they're hyping this up for next week. And I think this is a good idea. This was a good video package. Good way to hype up for next week, because they need the juice for next week. You know?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. No, this was very good. I really enjoyed it.
They're going up against Shaq next week, man.
Well, I'd rather see this match, to be honest with you. So,
isn't next week also where they're hyping up Big Show talking for the first time?
Yeah, well, I think he's gonna talk. I think he's gonna interfere with Shaq. I think that's what he's gonna do, right?
Yeah. So yeah, they need some juice.
I think they should give the belts to Dakota Kai. I really do. I think if she loses, yeah. I like when they keep it. I'm not the same person that when you left. I like the fact that she has grown. I like the storyline of her growing and Shayna Baszler regressing.
Yeah, and I like how,
like, Shayna that Baszler Shayna was a bully who could just destroy her, and now it's not going to be that easy.
Yeah, and Shayna Baszler's like, yo, since I left, all my, like, scrubs have just been running around this place. Like it's just like, you, like, dude.
Meanwhile, you're, like, losing to Dana Brooke. Yeah.
Only idiots would book Shayna and Jax to win this match.
Yeah, well, because, they're probably going to squash.
Yeah, because if Dakota Kai and Gonzalez don't win this match, they're going to look like the biggest fucking idiots.
I know. Well, especially Dakota Kai. Especially, like,
It's going to prove everything that Shayna said, like, in this video pack is correct. Yeah. You know? You have to have these guys win. It's like, you just have to, you know, you're going to just destroy two careers in one fucking
then,
match.
You know, then if you want, you know, they can go on Raw and lose like fucking idiots to Alexa Bliss and, I don't know, Nikki Cross or something when, you know, with the fucking, I mean, if you like down the road, if you want them to lose like idiots, that's fine. Cause that's probably what they're going to do, but at least let them win now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
if they do win, they're gonna lose the belts. They're gonna, like, fucking idiots when they lose the belt. Like, they're gonna like Alexa Bliss is gonna, like, hypnotize someone to be like her slave, and they're gonna, like, Alexa Bliss is gonna, like, shoot fire out of her ass, and, like, Dakota Kai be like, ah, just faint, and they'll pin him, and then they'll go back to NXT. But at least let them win this match.
You know, I was having an argument with somebody in the Facebook group about how they thought Lucha Underground was so fucking stupid. They did so many stupid things.
But they like this shit.
But no, but I was like, but WWE has, like, and they were talking about how, like, oh, back in the old days, we didn't have stupid stuff like that. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Undertaker, like, got killed and came back from the dead because of the power of the urn. Kane used to shoot fire from his hands. Like, he would put garbage cans on fire with his hands.
The only thing that I didn't like, and I used to hate when people defended it, was the dick spot with Joey Ryan, but everything else, I'm like, I don't care. Like,
it's all the same thing over and over again, you know? Boogeyman, Hurricane being able to fly, Abdullah the Butcher getting electrocuted in a chair. It's all the fucking same shit, guys. So, even though this Bray Wyatt thing is stupid as fuck, it's not even like an original idea. You know, it's like, it's all been done before. It's like, anyways, good video package. Then we get Cameron Grimes. He's pissed off because he can't do this basketball thing. And he goes to this last guy and he goes, "Hey, can you dribble this basketball?" And the guy's like, "Oh, you mean like that Ted DiBiase video?" And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, whatever, man. Just dribble the basketball." And then he's about to dribble it and he punches him in the face. And then
yeah, this I think they should just end it with the chick.
Chick?
With the chick that dribbled. I think they should just ended it with that.
Yeah, they should. I didn't like this last part, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I like what they're doing with this. I really do. And they, if they do not get Ted DiBiase to show up, then this is fucking kind of stupid.
I think they are, but I think you got to wait a few weeks. But I think he needs to keep. He should even also like try to get someone to dress up like IRS. Like,
I don't know. He should get that'd be actually pretty interesting if you got an IRS guy.
Yeah, who would you have be IRS?
Yeah, who there could be IRS?
Dexter Loomis would actually be kind of funny.
Yeah, it would be funny. Dexter Loomis. They have a history too, so it would it wouldn't be that weird. Maybe I don't know, you get one of these new guys you sign and you go where you're gonna play.
You get one of the new guys. Yeah.
Hey, Blake Christian, you're a tax guy. IRS. Cut your hair.
I think this will be interesting. I'm trying to get the other storylines Ted DiBiase was involved in. He could try to buy the NXT title from Finn Balor. Because and Finn Balor's like, "I'll give you 4,000. All right, 5,000. All right, 5,000. He tries to lowball him. Like, come on. When Ted DiBiase was the WWE champion.
There was Rob Van Dam kissed his. He had a young Rob Van Dam kiss his shoes.
If he could ask Rob Van Dam to kiss his feet, they could.
That would be really. That'd be a really.
And fun Rob Van Dam just beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, that would be a really fun cameo if they did that. I would love to do. Because you remember NXT used to have a history of they would just do these one offs. Alex Shelley would come one time, or fucking Jushin Liger wrestled one time. They should do that. We're just hey Rob, can you just come in for a one shot? And do this thing, and I think he'll be like, "Yeah, I'll fucking do it. That sounds fun, you know." They should do that. That'd be awesome. There's so much you could do with this storyline.
And he makes his own belt, but it's really cheap and shitty looking. $1 million.
Yeah,
Or he tries to steal the $1 million belt from Ted DiBiase, because didn't him and his son had it last? So he finds Ted DiBiase Jr. and he tries to steal the belt. It's dude. There's so much you could do with
there's Ted so much
DiBiase character.
Yeah. All right, so we go to match number 5. It is Drake Maverick and Killian Dane versus Grizzled Young Veterans. Before the match, inform us that Wesley from MSK has a broken hand and they've been fined. They're like, "Oh, well," but they're out. MSK is out of the picture, so we're gonna be up next in line for the tag team title shots. They hit the Ticket to Mayhem on Drake Maverick for the win. It was okay, man.
Yeah, this was just okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. But the ending was cool. Mm-hmm. So Drake Maverick is hurt. So Killian Dane carries him to the back. And he's like, "I need a trainer to look at him." And as he's there, fucking Imperium walks by. And they notice him. Alexander Wolf comes in. And he looks at Killian Dane carrying Drake Maverick. And he goes, "What is this?" And he looks at him and he goes, "Dude, you used to be a monster. What happened to you?" And he just leaves. And Killian Dane starts he has a self reflection moment. And I love this because these two guys have a history. They were in Sanity together. And it's "Yeah, dude, what happened? You used to be a monster. What the fuck are you doing now?" I hope this plays to.
This would be great if they bring back Sanity and put Nikki Cross in it too. That'd be fucking great. Or they both go to the main roster as Sanity when Nikki Cross is their manager. Or I don't know.
I don't think Sanity's gonna come back. I think they're gonna try to tease Killian Dane probably joining Imperium, but then he goes, "No way!" And then they have a little tag team feud between Imperium guys and Drake and Maverick.
Just a single smash between the two Sanity guys.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, I don't think I don't think they like Sanity, WWE. I don't think they like fucking Sanity.
So many fucking weird things. Sanity was so good, and people loved it, and
it's their creation.
My problem is a lot of this is Triple H's creation.
I know. Yes. But it's crazy. It's
Dude, I think a lot of things that Triple H is really behind, Vince goes out of his way to destroy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's insane because it's in-house.
It's they put all this work into Sanity. They put all this work into Bayley with the inflatable things. They put all this work into these things, and Triple H presented a vision of these people. And then Vince destroys it. And then they have Bayley and Sasha go on Stone Cold's podcast, but oh yeah, I found myself now. I think Bayley shits on the old version of her. Dude, that version of you could have been the biggest star in the company. It's just that Vince didn't like it. When Triple H was behind you, it's what made you. What?
Yeah, it's what made you. That's how you got to the main roster.
Everyone loved her. Everyone loved her when she was doing that character. James Manor would cry. Oh, I cried at Eastville with Bayley One Bubbles. People were really invested in her. But Vince didn't like it. And I like this version of Bayley a lot. Don't get me wrong. But she's on the Stone Cold podcast being now I found myself. Now everything's fucking great. And it's no, things were fine even in 2015, you fucking idiot. Vince made you think you suck and that your character's garbage. But to his credit, though, this character's great, but,
Yeah, it's so weird because, I get it if you bring in, War Machine and you're whoa, we like you guys, but we're not going to use, what got you over. We're going to create you guys in our own image. But, Sanity was theirs. It's the stupidest fucking thing. You guys own the rights to it.
Same thing with Matt Riddle and Keith Lee.
Oh my god, yeah.
They almost treat it like you came in from WCW when you're in NXT.
It's like Ascension. Ascension is their idea.
And they're just shitting on it.
Yeah.
They're just shitting on it. I'll be like, they're so fucking stupid. You guys came up with this.
Yeah.
This is fucking dumb. They're these fucking Ascension guys. We're like, no, this is what we have to do. Although we're going to leave the company. We have to
Oh my God. So many vaudevillains. I thought that was a really cool gimmick. The only one that came up from NXT gimmick wise that they actually were behind was Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. But that was the beginning of NXT. That was at the very beginning.
And they still fucked it up at the end, but that was the only one they were actually.
Halfway through, they stopped giving a shit about Luke Harper and stuff. So,
I don't understand what goes through their heads. But anyways, that's probably what we think is going
to
happen.
I think Vince just needs to have a company. He's we do things differently here. And it's the same show!
All right, we're going to go to match number 6 now. This is the no disqualification match between Karrion Kross and Santos Escobar. Santos Escobar arrives and he's sitting in this car, and Legato is standing guard. Kross attacks the Legato in the parking lot, and they do this whole fighting in the parking lot. There's this really cool spot where they're fighting in a truck, and Santos Escobar brings the truck door down on Kross's back. It's 3-on-1, guys. They're beating the shit out of Karrion Kross, but Karrion Kross has mystical power, so he keeps fighting back. He fight all the way back into the studio. He throws Legado Fantasma through the barricade, and the whole thing falls over. Ultimately, at the end, even though it's 3-against-1, Karrion Kross hits a forearm shot to the back of Escobar's head for the win. What did you think?
I don't understand when Karrion Kross became a good guy. When did this happen that he's now a good guy? I don't understand why. I still don't understand why he was so mad at Santos Escobar. His match was good, but it was why do you have him being the shit out of the Cruiserweight champion and becoming how does this make him a good guy? He was a completely different character. Do you think they're going to move him immediately to the main roster after WrestleMania? So they want to make him more
No, I don't think they're going to move him to the main roster.
Things were very different to that. I've heard that they are. Dave Meltzer said they are.
That things were very different? Well, I heard
that they want to put him to the main roster right away.
Oh. Well, Dave Meltzer also said originally Sammy Guevara was actually for this spot, but then he was really scheduled for this spot, guys.
It's just so weird that now this guy's a good guy. I don't know what he did that he's, but they were just, I hate WWE does this a lot now, where there's like not even an official turn. Like, I need you to give me an official turn. I need Karrion Kross to say explicitly, I like puppies and little children, and I just want to help everybody now. Like, just give me something. Like, they used to have the word, the character would just be like, would make like a little, like would do an action, or all he did was challenge this poor little Mex. I thought they were turning the cruiserweight guy a good guy because he's like a little guy, and this is a big fucking, I don't know. Anyway, but I guess he's a good guy now. He's a hero to everyone. Yeah.
Like, you're right. This wasn't a bad match, but I didn't like it how it was three guys against one, and the fucking three guys lost.
Well, yeah, because you built up this great faction, and you're sacrificing it for what? Like,
yeah, you sacrifice this faction, basically. At the end of the day, that's what you
and
did.
And then you make the whole entire cruiserweight division look like fucking idiots. It should if someone was going to do this, it should have been a cruiserweight. It should have been, you know, Cowboy Urban Paul, what's his name?
Yeah, you know what I would have done? I would have done like Karrion Kross like comes back, right? From his injury, and he's doing this thing where he's like gonna stand in the ring and he's like walking to his ring, his cool entrance. And then as soon as he's in the ring, you have Curt Stallion and August Gray beat the shit out of him, right? Yeah. With like chairs and stuff. And then next week they go, why did you guys do that? He goes, well, we're new here and we need to make an impression. What better impression do we make than beating up the former champion, right? To say that we're not a joke, guys. And then you build to Karrion Kross, like sending a message, just like TikTok, I'm coming after you. And then you do this no disqualification match where he beats the shit out of two of those guys and he wins. But no, I guess they just gave up on
this. No, what stable. I'm saying is, I would, if someone was going to topple, what I'm trying to say is, if someone was going to topple fucking like God of the Phantasma, I wish it was a cruiserweight.
Oh, I see what you're
because
saying.
They're still on top of the cruiserweight division. So now what? Like next week, are they just gonna beat up fucking Curt Stallion and Tony Nese and like just makes the cruiserweights look idiots?
Yeah, yeah, that's true too. Yeah, I just didn't like this. Even though it's a good match, I just didn't like it.
I didn't like it either.
We get an LA Knight promo. He tells us that he'll come whenever he wants to come. The only takeaway from this is that his name is spelled LA. K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah, like Dark Knight.
So he is a knight, not knight like tonight. Then we get Adam Cole. He's in the ring and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Kyle. I'm so sorry about what I did. Roderick Strong comes out. He's like, bro, what the hell, bro? And then Finn Balor comes out. He doesn't want to say anything. He wants to fight. He starts fighting. Strong pulls him off of Adam Cole. And then he gets super kicked in the face by Adam Cole. Finn Balor does. And then Cole is in the ring with Strong hits him, and Adam Cole's like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, oh, dude, it's okay. I'm so sorry. And then Adam Cole low blows Roderick Strong, and he's like, you stupid idiot.
Well, he is.
This was stupid.
Yeah, I said it'd be like, I'm so sorry, brother, and Roderick Strong falling for it. By the way, this made, am I breaking up? It said my internet connection's unstable.
A little bit, but you're fine now.
Okay. This made Roderick Storm look retarded, but I think they kind of wanted to do that because I think they're done with Roderick Storm. Whatever use they wanted from him, they got out of it already. Now they just want to make him look like an idiot.
Yeah, I think so. That's possible.
And I think they're like, oh, just so you know, this guy's an idiot, and Adam Cole is smarter and better than him. And now we're going to move on to what we really want to do. So I think they just need to get – it was bad. I don't understand, too, like – this group was so dominant, and now everyone in the group is looking like an idiot during the breakup, which I don't get. Like, you know, if these people were so stupid, why did you want to team with them all these years? I don't know. Anyway, it just, everyone looks like an stupid idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. Yeah. So some decent, I'll be honest, I don't think you need to watch this fucking show. There really isn't much that you need to watch. None of the matches were that amazing that you have to watch it.
And I mean, I had a good time watching it.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst NXT episode, but
yeah, I would say watch those segments with our buddy.
I actually thought Dark was more entertaining because the commentary is just funnier. Shit. No, but we're going to go into
not watching Dark, so you can.
Speaking of AEW, yeah. AEW is not live.
No, and you did more shots. You can tell they're in an empty arena, basically.
Yes. First match is John Moxley versus Ryan Nemeth. He hits a paradigm shift for the win, and afterwards he gives a promo, which is just full of cliches.
That's all John Moxley has.
My blood, sweat, and tears. I'm addicted. I'm addicted to this. Guys, we've heard these promos like fucking everybody does this
kind of promo. Vince was holding him back.
Yeah. And then we get a video package of the build-up between Moxley and Kenny Omega. What did you think about this match, promo, video package? I like the video package. I'll give him that.
Video package is fine. I'm just there's nothing that Moxley does that impresses me at this point.
It's just, but he gives his blood, sweat, and tears.
It's just always the same shit, and yeah. we have to say he's a good wrestler because he went to AEW. So. Mm-hmm.
Lance Archer and Phoenix are getting interviewed in the back, and then they start fighting because they're going to have a match tonight. Young Bucks arrive with their mom and dad. You know something's going to happen with them. I'm just going to keep moving
like
on.
You know what the dad look like a lot? Robert Gibson from Rock and Roll Express.
His dad, yes. Yes, he does. Yes, you're right. Absolutely. Match number two, Varsity Blondes versus Ricky Starks and Brian Cage. There is a point in this match where Brian Cage has Brian Pillman Jr. and he throws him outside the ring and he throws him to the fucking ring post. He fucking hits the ring post like it's so careless. He hits the ring post and he falls on the fucking steel steps. The guy could have freaking really hurt himself. It looked really bad. I was just like, dude, what the fuck are you
like
doing?
Brian Cage? I don't like Brian Cage. There's something missing with him.
Yes.
He's got a great look. Do you know, I follow him on Twitter. And he's very off-putting on Twitter. And I'm like, I don't
what
like
what do you mean? Stuff. Like, what is he doing on Twitter? It's off-putting.
He's just kind of, like, nasty to fans. And, like, it's just kind of weird. He's just a weird guy, dude. He's just kind of a weird guy. I don't know. There's something off. Like, it's like, this guy should be better than... He has a great look, but then there's nothing inside.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
And I'm like, Ricky Starks is growing on me. And I'm like, Ricky Stark should have someone else with him. Why is Brian Cage with him? Why are these guys together? They don't complement each other.
Yeah. I don't think Brian Cage should ever be a top guy. If that's a harsh thing to say, but I don't hate him. Like, I don't dislike him, but it's just like when I look at him, I don't see him. Like, he will always be in my eyes, like what Rusev was in WWE, should never be a top guy.
Yeah.
Can be a
he has
big
a good look, but like
Carter.
It's
yeah.
just almost like it's almost like too much the muscles, so it almost mm-hmm. like becomes like a cartoon character.
He has too much muscles and he does way more than he should for his look.
Yeah, like, and then like I feel like he hurt himself losing to Tessa and Impact and
He doesn't have like natural charisma.
No, it's just it's just like I worked out a lot, so you must be very impressed by me.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, he's got a great look, but fucking so does a lot of people.
He should just be a bodyguard. You know?
Yeah, I don't mind him in the role he's in now. Like, see, this is like perfect level for him.
Yeah, like a henchman. Yeah, well.
Yeah, like a henchman. Yeah, he's a very good. He's a good.
Even though I said all this, the rest of this segment. So let's get to after the match.
Yeah. So this match was good. Ultimately, they hit the drill claw on Brian Pillman Jr. for the win. Afterwards, the ring goes black, and they show on the screen one of those cool Darby black and white videos where he's escaping out of the fucking bag because Sting was driving the car, which I did like. And then Sting fucking snow shit comes out and he's coming out with a body bag and everyone's like, oh, it's Darby Allin in the body bag because, you know, the video, it was Darby Allin. No, it's not. They open it up and it's Hook, Taz's son, who had the car waiting for them in the parking lot. He's actually been captured by Sting and everyone, Taz is freaking out on commentary. Then Darby Allin zip lines down and because it's not live, they were able to edit it so that he smoothly got out of there and they all start fighting all the fucking heels and Stinger splashes Brian Cage and hits the Scorpion Death drop on him. The heels are left laying in the ring while the good guys are left standing. I thought this segment was great.
It was great. I think it's kind of a mistake. I'm nervous that the Sting thing's going to end badly for them. And Sting.
What do you mean? Like he's going to like injure himself?
Yeah, badly. He's too old to be doing all this shit. Dude, he's 61 years old. Like,
yeah. If you're like a 13-year-old kid watching this shit, you'd probably be like, what the
fuck? You know why Sting works? And you know who could have probably kept doing this if he wanted to, if he didn't die, his Ultimate Warrior? The face paint. Like, the face paint doesn't, you don't age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Look at what's his name? Goldust.
Yeah, you don't age when you have face paint on. But at the same time, like, dude, this guy's so old and they're having him do all this shit. And the other thing, too, is like, even though I just shit on Brian Cage, I just don't think he should be getting beat up by a 61-year-old man. I don't know. Like, it's just like, you know, beat up to that extent. It was good. And I get it. Sting's a superhero. But I'm nervous that I thought they were going to be more careful with the physicality with Sting, but they're going all in. And I kind of feel like Sting wants it to do like that because he wants to go out on his own terms, right?
Yeah, because he's not going to get powerbombed unless he agrees to getting powerbombed.
I know, but you know? I just feel like he's going to ask for too much and it's going to end badly. That's all.
It's possible. That is possible. But ultimately, not a bad match. Great segment afterwards where Sting finally does not
look like... I didn't like the match. I got to be honest with you. A lot of the matches on this show felt glorified squashes.
Yeah, this was a little bit of a squash, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the matches on the show, though, felt like that. And they went, you know.
Yeah, and what do you call it? But anyway, good ending segment.
Like they were matches where I knew the ending, and, like, it just kept going. Like, you know, something to book a match, and you already know who's going to win.
Yeah. No, like, most of these, let's be honest, with the Varsity Blondes, they mostly lost on Dynamite. They're jobbers.
And sitting with Ryan Nemeth, you're like, all right, these guys are just wrestling squash matches.
You know what they are? They're winners on Dark. They're jobbers on Dynamite. That's what it is. They win on Dark. Yeah. Tony Schiavone is with Miro and Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford. He started talking about Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor. Miro's like, I hate Orange Cassidy, but I like you, Charles. Charles, come back to us. Come back to our family. Be a man. Be a man, Charles. Come back to our group. He gets a note. They're challenging him to a match of Revolution. And ultimately, they will accept. But in the segment, they didn't accept. I thought Miro was good.
I hated this segment. I thought they were
bad. What did you like about this?
Miro's not good on the mic. I didn't like him on the mic.
I thought it was funny. Be a man. Be a man.
This is how this match should go. This is not how it's going to go, but this is how that match should go. Because I think Rusev should just beat the shit out of both those guys. I don't think you need Kip Sabian. I think Rusev, you need to start booking him more like a badass, which they're not going to do. He's going to be selling for Orange Cassidy and shit, but I don't know. I didn't like this. Rusev to me has completely fallen apart since leaving WWE.
Yeah, I thought this was okay. I thought Miro was all right on the mic. Not the best, but he wasn't like, he made sense, basically.
The last line was good. It's be a man, don't be a little kid. I like
that. Yeah, don't be a man, don't be a little kid. Yeah, I just think it's funny when he's like, be a man. We're going to go to match number three. Brendan Cutler, who is also a Dynamite jobber, versus Jake Hager. Jake Hager hits like a running clothesline for the win. Afterwards, the Inner Circle come out, and they start beating up on Brendan Cutler. The Young Bucks come in and make the save. Then MJF and Jericho, they're on the Tron, and they have attacked the Young Bucks' dad. And ultimately, the Young Bucks try to go after them, but after commercial break, the dad gets put into the ambulance. The Good Brothers go with them in the ambulance. The match was a squash match, and I didn't like this ending segment. I'll tell you why. We just fucking had a segment like this in the second match, where to get to your opponents, you're going to attack a family member.
Oh, yeah. Here's what I thought. The dad's acting and the blood was fucking
horrible. The blood was jam. It was like jammed.
It was fucking horrible. Like, why even give him blood then? Don't do anything. Like,
yes.
All you have to do, just let him look like he got beat up, rip up his clothes and shit. That's all you have to do. Like, The blood looks so fucking stupid.
Yes.
And the other thing too, with so that the Young Bucks are good guys again, didn't they just turn? Like, I'm supposed to feel bad for the Young Bucks, but they're still like with Kenny Omega, who like wants to like destroy wrestling. Like, I just don't understand. Like, fucking dude, like, it don't make it this complicated, this dumb. Like, fucking, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I wasn't really for this. The blood did look terribly fake. And they are going to have this thing where I attack a family member to get to you like 3 times in this episode. You know that?
Yeah, I know. This to me was like the worst. And they're acting like it's so horrible. Like, well, what about Sting beating up a fucking kid? You didn't have a problem.
Yeah, he's a kid. Hulk is an actual
kid. Who's not even really trained yet. And Sting's whooping his ass. But you're okay with this?
Yeah.
You're okay with that. You're not okay with that anyway. Yeah. Your fault.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't for this. Then we get a Shaq, Jade Cargill video because they are wrestling next week, guys. Video package. The more I see video packages of these guys, the more I start going like, oh my God, this is going to fucking be terrible. Like, I have a feeling this is going to be really
fucking bad. The match is even going to start. That's what I think is going to happen. I think Big Show is going to cut a promo. Like, I'm here to help everybody. He's going to be in the back and Shaq's going to say something to him. And then Big Show's going to attack Shaq. And I think that this match is never happening. I think Big Show's and Shaq are going to have this fucking brawl. And Big Show's going to put him through a table. And Shaq's going to be like, I want to match with Big Show. And the real match is going to be Big Show. I don't think this match is going to happen. I think Big Show's going to do something to Shaq next week.
I'm actually okay with that. If that happens...
I think this Jade, dude, they have not shown. Why can't you give her a match?
Exactly.
Why couldn't she wrestle?
Because she's not ready. Exactly.
Why is she? Why is she teaming up with Shaq on one of the biggest episodes of your show of all time?
I think they're starting to realize they made this huge mistake. I think they're starting to realize.
Shaq can't lead the match. Who the fuck is going to lead the match?
Cody.
No, on the bad guy side.
No, I have no idea, dude. Like I said, I think this is gonna be a trick.
Dude, this is like, you know what this is? This is like you had Bam Bam Bigelow team with like Tammy Sitch to fight Lawrence Taylor and like a stripper you found at the local. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, dude, like Lawrence Taylor's know what he's doing. And now you want to add someone else who doesn't know what they're doing? Like, just why the fuck would you? Why couldn't they just do Cody versus Shaq?
I mean, we could be wrong. This ends up being a really good match. Who knows? But
why are they not showing what she can do?
Like, yeah, that's why I feel like this is not going to be a trend.
Unless like she's like the greatest wrestler like they've ever seen. Like, she can do like a fucking shooting star press from like the floor into the ring or something. Like, she like defies gravity what she can do, and they don't want to show us until next week, but I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. Now, remember, I don't believe this, but I'm just gonna play devil's advocate. Somebody who's on the other side of this fence could be like, "Well, Pat McAfee didn't have a match before his match versus Adam Cole, and that match was
Pat
great."
McAfee,
and
I'd be like, yeah. Pat McAfee was legit. Was a professional athlete before he had that.
Well, no, and they'll be like, "So is Shaq, so is Jake Carpenter." I'll be like, "That's fine." I'll be like, "Okay, that's fine."
But also, Pat McAfee's younger than Shaq.
I'm willing to be like, that's fine. We're all going to find out next week. So it doesn't fucking matter at this point. Yeah. I'm going to be like, that's fine. We're going to find out who's right or wrong when actually a match happens. You guys, people can believe what it was. I want it to be a train wreck, personally.
Me too.
Here's
the other thing. This woman showed up in November and got the heifer fucking treat. Remember the heifer? That whole fucking everything with this Jade has been awful. And she's gorgeous. So this woman has shown up and she's never had, like, why can't she have one fucking match?
I don't actually like her. You know that? I don't like her for many reasons. I don't like when somebody gets, like, propped up to the top right away. Like, I never like people like that, right?
Yeah.
And number two, to me, she's not that attractive. And because she's too artificial. Do you know what I mean?
I find her to be attractive, but I don't like her at all.
Yeah, and I don't.
There's something weird with her on that show. There's something very strange that she is getting the push she's gotten. She has not sold. Has she ever been attacked? or had to sell?
No, not yet. Yeah, not yet.
She's not sold. Mm-hmm. She's not had a match. She's been on the show since November. I mean, we hate Alexa Bliss's character, but at least every now and then she has like a match. Like they put mm-hmm. her in things. Like mm-hmm. she hasn't had anything. And even the clips that they showed of her in the ring, first of all, she was with a man in the ring, so the guy was probably like doing all the work. But it's like
they didn't actually show
very short.
They really, yeah, they didn't show anything. They just showed her in a ring with a dude. That's all they showed.
Yeah, it was very short.
I don't like. She doesn't cut good promos. I know she's not an ugly person, but I do not find her attractive. And I also don't like the nepotism that's coming with her. I want this to be a train wreck. I feel like it's going to be a train wreck.
I feel like one of the main reasons they signed Big Show was so they could have a storyline reason to not have this match.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be kind of sucks if Big Show robs us of this train wreck, but it is what it is. Match number four, it's Isaiah Cassidy, who comes out with Matt Hardy and TH2 versus Hangman Page, who is by himself. Ultimately, Matt Hardy gets involved, which brings the Dark Order guys, Alex and Alex Reynolds and John Silver out. They get Matt Hardy thrown out, and those two guys stay ringside so that no other shenanigans happen. This is a very, very long match. This is not a bad match.
It's way, way too long, way too boring.
Dude, it was all right. Me
of like a WCW Saturday Night match where they just like were like, we have to kill time for this week because we don't give a shit about this show.
For those of you guys who need to know how long this was, it started around like 8:50 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern time, and they finished well past 9 o'clock. It was like almost like a 15-minute match.
Yeah, so. I didn't like this match. Way too long. What? What'd you say? Oh.
No, I thought you said something, and I was just like, huh?
I said this match is way too long.
Oh, ultimately, Hangman Page, hits the Deadeye which a move he hasn't used in a long time. He used a Deadeye finisher, put Cassidy away. Afterwards, Matt Hardy, to get at Hangman Page, attacks one of the members of the Dark Order, Alan Angel. So, like, that's just the third one we're seeing, guys, where to get to your opponent, you got to attack a family member or somebody associated with them. Like, come on, dude.
I hate everything with Matt Hardy right now. I fucking hate this match. So Matt Hardy alone is going to beat up the Dark Order. That's what he said. I'm going to beat up everyone in the Dark Order. How is Matt Hardy this much of a threat? Like, why can't the rest of the Dark Order come out? Why can't Ten and Colt Cabana come out and just beat the shit out of this fucking guy? How is the Dark Order now they can't take care of Matt Hardy? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I don't understand.
That's true. And I'm not a fan of, you know, I'm not a fan of fucking lazy fucking booking. I am not. And how do you write this show and not go like, hey guys, we have like three things that are kind of ending.
Where someone pulls someone from the back. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, maybe we got to change one of these up, guys. Like, how is
I don't understand how Matt Hardy, I don't understand Matt Hardy's going to beat up the Dark Order now. Like, that's a threat. Like, he's going to beat up Hangman Page and the Dark Order. This guy is like, Jeff Hardy's like jobbing to people on fucking Raw. And this guy is going to beat this shit out of, I really thought like he was going to be like not so much in the ring. And he keeps getting in the ring and winning feuds against young guys. Hangman Page, this should be like a 4-minute match for Hangman Page. This shouldn't take this fucking guy this long. This shouldn't be a feud for Hangman Page.
I don't think it's going to be a squash, but if Matt Hardy wins, it's the wrong person to win. 100%. 100%.
Matt Hardy wins, his company is over. Like, that's how, like, Hangman Page, I thought this was one of the fucking guys that's going to be the fucking future. Can you fucking just make him, the future's now. Like, stop, like, dude, stop signing fucking guys from 1998 and fucking the future is now. Like, people, dude, I had two people message me how fucking retarded it was that and they don't really watch wrestling. They're like, I thought AEW was supposed to be the future, and why would they sign Big Show? And I'm like, I don't know. I know you think it's cool and Brian Alvarez, but to the general public, they thought this company was like supposed to be the future, and all they see is Sting and Big Show, and they're like, wow, they must have really conned That fucking Arab kid runs it.
Yeah, I mean,
The Arab kid, my friend said. He said all these old WCW guys must be so happy that they're just conning this fucking Arab kid to give them all his
money. Oh, Tony Khan. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they don't know his name. 100%. Yeah, dude, this... I like the Big Show signing, and I'll tell you guys why. I think because why not? You know, he's useful. I think he'll be useful.
He has the stink of WWE failure on him, dude. Like, it's over. It's over. Like, there's really nothing more I want to see from him.
But to say that, like, is Tony Khan probably being fucking played like a fiddle? 100%.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. And I get where Big Show is. Apparently, Big Show is livid about that Randy Orton segment on the Homecoming.
Yeah, that's Meltzer reported that. I'm not going to put
bullets. Ah, but like the deal was supposed to be signed the next day and he didn't sign the deal. So I kind of, dude, that was a bit, he was made to look pretty fucking stupid his last few appearances. And if he did want to do more and that's all they're having him do, I can kind of get why he wanted to leave, right? I get that. But at the same time, like, I've seen all the Big Show I need to see. Dude, before I had my Monday show at Caroline's, and I'd be sitting at home, and the Big Show theme music would play, and he would come out of a boring fucking match with, like Roman Reigns or Kane or something, I'd be like, what am I doing in my life? Like, I can't believe I'm watching this guy. Like, I'm talking about, this is like 2015. I can't believe I'm watching this guy for 20 fucking years. Like, he just constantly reminds me that I've done nothing of significance in life whenever he comes on my TV screen. Because he never has a good match. He's always in horrible segments. I get, yeah, he was misused. Maybe in another lifetime, he could have been one of the best wrestlers in the world in 2002, 2003. The ship has fucking sailed. It's time to move on. Give him the Hall of Fame ring and let's move on. The ship has sailed. It's over.
Yeah. I'm gonna be talking about Dave Meltzer soon in a little bit.
That's my point. I know you
know everyone's
a Big Show fan. Meanwhile, Big Show ran out on Raw Monday and I'm gonna be in the Bobby Lashley match, then won, and then they were like, it's gonna be Miz versus Big Show next week on Raw. Fucking the internet would have melted down.
Yeah. All right, so
this is an AEW, it's fucking great.
Alex Marvez He goes somewhere where he's trying to interview Don Callis and Kenny Omega, and they're welding, getting ready for the barbed wire explosion match. And these fucking idiots pull an Impact Wrestling where
you couldn't hear him.
Kenny Omega is trying to speak, but there's so much background noise. You can't hear shit. This is like what
and Impact they just Wrestling. Air it.
This is what Impact Wrestling does this shit.
I know.
Speaking of Impact
Wrestling. Maybe Don Callis made the segment himself, yeah. And they were like, we can't hear it. He's like, well, you can't hear an Impact anyway either. So
yeah. Speaking of Impact Wrestling, last night we were talking about how we think they're fucking stupid for letting AEW like treat them like garbage. And now Tommy Dreamer went on his stupid Busted Open radio and he started talking about it. He's expressing the same exact sentiments we were expressing. And right away after he did that, I was like, oh, this is a fucking work. And I'll tell you why. This is my theory. And this is a couple other people's theory. I know.
Breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking.
Can you do it after I finish this?
No, this is breaking news. Like,
all right.
You have to hear this.
Okay.
Because this is one of your boys. Josephicus, a.k.a. the question mark, a.k.a. Joseph
Hudson. Josephus.
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, he died. Yeah, I guess Billy Corgan announced it on Instagram.
Oh my God.
Look at Russell Reddit. Yeah.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh my God. Oh no.
I didn't really know this guy, but I just saw it, so.
I'm letting your boy know.
Who's my boy? Yeah, that's why I had to tell you right away. It was breaking news, bro.
Oh no.
I know you would always tell me how great he was.
Yeah, dude. Question mark was Oh my God. Oh, the NWA is officially done. Oh man, I don't know how you
The people are dying and going to NXT and going to AEW and going to Impact. Oh, so they don't have to be
not Josephus. Oh man.
Who'd you just message you when I'm telling your boy?
Who'd you tell James Matter?
Oh, okay. Hey, Bubba.
He was the only other person I knew who was a huge fan of the question mark.
Nobody else gave a shit.
Yo, him and I, we used to be like, dude, that's like the funniest fucking shit in the world, you know? It was so good. Oh, God.
I'm sorry, Bubba's.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry to hear this. All right. I was talking about Impact Wrestling.
All right. Let's go back.
Tommy Dreamer went on his radio show, and he talked about how he doesn't like what AEW is doing to them and how we don't ever get to show up on their show. When he says stuff like that, especially on his radio show, which they've used Busted Open Radio Beat in the past to further storyline in the past, they've done this. I was like, oh, fuck. This whole thing's a work. They're purposely booking it this way because that's how they're going to do the storyline. Now, if that's true, these guys are geniuses because I played right into it. But if it's not true, then yeah, these guys are dumbasses. So
okay, here's the deal. Okay, if that's true, that's fine. But like, I'm like, oh, it's gonna be maybe a little factor storyline in tonight on AEW. When is this storyline gonna kick in place that Tommy Dreamer is pitching today on a random Wednesday? When the fuck? Like, there's been no indication of it on Impact TV. Did they even mention Impact on this show tonight?
No, but I think that's what I'm saying. I think, okay.
If they have Scott, because it's going to be Scott D'Amore, because that's how fucking dumb they are. If they have a segment on Tuesday where Scott D'Amore's like, I'm tired of these paid segments, like, we're going to do something, then you're right. I don't know. I think Tommy Dreamer is shooting. I don't think this is a storyline.
That's possible. Could all be a shoot, yeah.
Like, why start hinting towards it today? So I thought the only reason he's hinting towards it today is they're going to do something on AEW. They haven't done anything. So I kind of think Tommy Dreamer is not – I don't think this is part of the storyline. Maybe you're right. We'll see, because I hope it is. That's the thing. I hope it is for the benefit of this company, this storyline, because the storyline has been completely abandoned, this AEW Impact – New Japan Invasion. It's just Kenny Omega building a cage. Mm-hmm. They've abandoned anything interesting with this story. So I'm hoping maybe Tommy Dreamer and Scott D'Amore are trying to make the storyline on their own. Like, they're hoping that Tony Khan will take the bait and they'll work in the storyline. But I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah, it could be a shoot. It could be a work. I think it's a work, but we're gonna find out.
It could be a shoot that they want to turn into a work.
Yeah. We're just throwing that out there because I thought that was really, that news came out today. I'm going to talk about Meltzer. Okay. They did a women's tournament. They do a recap of the women's tournament and then we go to match number five is Nyla Rose versus Britt Baker. This is actually a pretty good match. I thought this was a good match. Nyla Rose hits two beast bombs for the win. Now you told me that the winner of the U.S. side is going to be Nyla Rose. And I said, how did you know about this, right? Mm-hmm. And he said there were spoilers. And I was like, really? So I looked this up, and there have been spoilers for all these episodes of Dynamite that were previously filmed that this guy's been posting. And I was like, oh. So the whole time when I'm always a person who always plays like, I give people the benefit of the doubt. So when you said, when Dave Meltzer, why is he reporting all these things that are already pre-recorded? And I said, maybe because none of that shit comes out. But that's not true, because there's somebody posting spoilers from episodes that we, like, all these spoilers before they come out, right? This guy posted about the fucking zipline.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, okay. He's like, there's going to be a zipline. He hit the wrong person, but he knew there was going to be a zipline. And I'm like, all right, so Dave Meltzer is purposely not spoiling AEW, because he normally, like you said, he normally would for
WWE. He spoiled the Edge Roman Reigns thing, dude.
Exactly.
Like a month ago. Like, we know that's gonna be the match, dude. That Monday morning, before Raw even aired, mm-hmm. he's like, they're gonna go with Edge, Edge versus Roman. And the day that Charlotte returned, that morning he wrote Charlotte to return tonight, and it was on the front page. So if you went to that site, if you went to that site for any other reason, like let's say you want to read a recap of something or you need to look something up, and he also put on a tweet. He said the tweets. There was a tweet. So if you follow with a picture, Charlotte. So no matter what you did, if you wanted to interact with his site or him, you would have saw that Charlotte it was going to come back. And if you didn't want to be spoiled, you're basically fucked because he doesn't like WWE.
Yes, and this is my theory on why he doesn't like WWE and why he doesn't do this for AEW. They recently, on the Wrestling Observer, they had Tony Khan give him an interview, right? Junior would never do this.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting an interview from the guy who not only created, but he's also the guy who's running AEW. That's like the equivalent of getting an interview with Vince McMahon. And yeah. They're never going to get that. And that's why they treat AEW so differently. Because AEW makes them actual reporters. Mm-hmm. Because remember, Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, they're not reporters, guys. They're wrestling speculators. They speculate on things the same way Ray and I are speculating on things. They're not fucking behind. They don't fucking work there. They're not given access to go into the locker rooms. They don't know all this shit. They're hearing everything secondhand, reading it third hand like we are. But AEW gives them these privileges where they treat them like actual like reporters and give them this credibility. And that's why they do this thing of like, these guys actually give us the credibility, so we're going to fucking not spoil their
shit. I would say like in the interest of fairness, what he did with the Charlotte thing, and again, I don't care about the Charlotte thing, but I know there are people that do care that go to his site. Like that's like if you have a superhero site, right? You have a superhero site, right? A superhero news site, and you find out you have 100% confirmation that that fucking you and Professor X is in WandaVision tomorrow night, right? And you have the footage, like you saw, and then on the front page of your superhero site with no warning, you put Professor X to be on WandaVision tonight. With a screenshot of him like standing next to Wanda and Vision. And it's like, okay, maybe, yeah, you should post, you can report that, but why do you have it so it's unavoidable to see? Like, people.
Would a real professional reporter do that? No. Of course not. That's because he's not but a
it
real.
Would be like, it would be reporter. Like, we have a scoop, there's going to be a big surprise on WandaVision.
Yeah.
Click, you know, and then if you want to read the article, that's on you. It's like, and then, oh, okay, I guess Professor X is on WandaVision.
Yeah. And that's what I mean, that he's not a real reporter. People need to stop referring to him that. He's a speculator. Or, you know what? He's a gossip columnist. That's what he is.
And then the other thing, like it's different. Like, okay, so baseball. If fucking A-Rod's going to come back to the Yankees, they're not going to keep that a secret and then announce it the day, opening day. Like, A-Rod's here on the Yankees again. He signed for 4 more years, even though he retired, like, years ago. So that's something like if you get a scoop like A-Rod re-signed with the Yankees as a pitcher, yeah, you should post that right away. But this is like entertainment, and like it's part of the show to have Charlotte walk out when we don't know she's going to walk out, or to have, you know, Ric Flair walk out when we don't know. That's part of the show. And so if you're going to do that to WWE, then I expect you to do that to AEW. I expect you to have Sting's fucking stupid face. Dude, he probably knew about Big Show for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
He should have had Big Show on the fucking mains. Big Show's going to be all of you.
Yeah. And, but I'm saying the reason why he gives AEW special treatment, and he does.
Yeah. But I don't think you should give any company. Dude, if you're going to do this to WWE, the WWE fan base, and you're going to spoil really important storylines.
Yeah. What I just talked about is clear proof that he's giving preferential treatment. Because if people were saying like, oh, well, maybe he doesn't have spoilers for AEW. Bullshit. Their spoilers are out. There's this guy posting spoilers. It's bullshit. He's purposely not posting their spoilers. And the reason why is because he is treating them with a he's giving them special privilege.
Because he wants people to enjoy the show. He wants us not – because now that I know Edge – and again, I don't care. But now that I know Edge and Randy Orton, and I knew it from the morning of after the Rumble – so everything Edge did the past month, I'm just waiting for him to go Roman Reigns. I'm just waiting to do that. So, like, you've ruined the whole fucking storyline. Already garbage to all of us.
Because you know what I would love? And he'll never do this. But you know what I loved about Howard Stern? Yeah. Howard Stern was always willing to take on his critics online, live on the air, you know? Right? Like, if somebody had a problem with Howard Stern, he'd be like, all right, well, I heard you got a problem. And he'll, like, fucking have him on
Meltzer,
the air.
Meltzer wouldn't go. I know you're saying Meltzer wouldn't go.
What?
Meltzer wouldn't go on. Like, if Vince McMahon's like, I want to talk to you on.
No. What I meant is this. If Meltzer if they're his critics, right? Somebody like you and me, right? If we called it to criticize him, he would never take it.
Well, no. Vince Russo has been like, I want to be a guest, because they talk shit about Vince Russo. Vince Russo's,
yeah,
let me be a guest of your show. I'm going to explain why I did this with Impact, why I did this with WCW. And they won't let him on the show. And Vince Russo said, okay, well, then come on my show. And because I just want to talk to you. And Vince Russo's a piece of shit. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you keep assuming what this guy means and what this guy did in WWE, WCW.
Uh-huh.
And if he wants to clarify, as a reporter, you should talk to him. Because you're reporting on shit the guy did. So talk to him. And be like, hey, why did you do this with Canyon?
But they don't want to do it. They don't want to.
Because they just want to have their narrative.
Yeah,
Vince Russo and Vince McMahon and all these other people are like this, that, and the third.
Because they'll know they're fucking wrong. Exactly.
Yeah.
These guys are not real reporters, guys. These are not real reporters. Stop calling them that. Please stop fucking calling them.
I mean, well, the first thing I remember when Bruce Prichard's podcast launched, Dave Meltzer was going everywhere calling him a con man, because he knew that if people started listening to fucking Bruce Prichard's podcast, they'd be like, oh, Dave Meltzer's full of shit. So he had to get the narrative going that fucking Bruce Prichard's a liar and shit. Yeah,
Bruce Prichard's like, dude, who are you gonna believe? The guy who was in the fucking room.
That's what he would say sometimes. Like, I was in the room. Like,
yeah, like, I'm in the fucking room. Are you guys fucking serious? Like, and you know what sometimes pisses me off is like Conrad Thompson, like, goes like, well, it's Dave Meltzer. Like he takes Dave Meltzer's side. Like, this guy's like, his word is gold and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Like, I just don't understand. Anyway, I just thought this was proof that he's a fucking con. He is, if anyone's a con artist, it's fucking that guy.
Oh yeah, he totally is. And shit, I had one more point to make about him. He totally is. And the funniest thing is, like, you know, fucking Bruce Pitcher, Eric Bischoff could be like, yeah, I was in the room, and this is, you know, we never said these three things. And Meltzer will keep going like, no, people will be like, well, Meltzer said it, so it's truer. Like, how, if I'm telling you I'm in a room and I had this discussion and I'm telling you, like, we never said what Meltzer said, why is Meltzer always one who's correct? And Meltzer has the balls to be like, no, I'm actually right. Like, I want to do that, dude. I want to be like, I want to do that. No, I want to do that, like, in a real life situation where.
No, you know what that would be like? If you're like, dude, you know what happened that one time? Tracy Morgan did this at Caroline's, and I'll be like, no, you know what? That's not true, right? What I heard was this. And you're like, dude, I was fucking there.
Yeah, and you're like, you just keep, that's what, but Meltzer would keep being like, well, I heard that he didn't do that. And I'm right.
That's not what I heard. What I heard was this. Then you're like, no, you don't understand. I was in the fucking room. Like,
I was but literally there next to Tracy Morgan. No, but Meltzer would do that with me. Meltzer would be like, I'm like, Dave, I was in the room the whole night, and he never did that. No, I heard.
I trust my sources.
Yeah, and he did do that. I was literally next to Tracy Morgan. No, he would really do that. That's fucking. But fans fall for it. All right, let's keep moving on. We just
we get a Jurassic Express FTR video package because Tully Blanchard will be wrestling. Fucking, I did not get excited about that.
They kept going like
Tully's wrestling. I'm like, dude's fucking like 80.
why do I want to again? This nothing about this again. My same guy who's a casual fan was like, why is Tully Blanchard on the show? I forgot about that guy when I was seven and he's on the
show. Exactly. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, dude, like I love watching old Tully Blanchard matches. He doesn't mean what you think he means.
Yeah.
Because he it's another guy who kind of stinks of failure, like Tommy Dreamer.
We're going to go to match number six. Final match, Lance Archer versus Rey Fénix. Man, I was getting in an argument with somebody, so I wasn't really paying attention, but Lance Archer hits the blackout for the win.
Okay, I really like the match. Really? Who are you getting an argument with? This was the best match of the whole night.
This, actually, I did like the Nyla Rose Britt Baker match, but this match, I was getting an argument about the thing where he was like, Lucha Underground, stupid. They do too many stupid things. And I was like, That's the history of wrestling.
Well, I'll tell you, I will give you my opinion because I paid attention to this match. This was a very good match. This was probably the best match Lance Archer has had on this show so far since they hired him a year ago. And I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was the best match of the night. I still think NXT was a slightly better show, though. Sorry. But this was the best match by far.
Since I DVR'd this, I'll try to watch it again tomorrow. One thing about this that I thought I need to mention.
I thought this was very well booked. I thought I have to give them credit for this match. This was very good.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing about this I have to mention that I thought was stupid. So this match is for a place in the...
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say. Okay, go.
Yeah, it's for a ladder match. What are they calling it? The reflection match?
The face of the revolution.
Face of revolution ladder match. Okay. And what happens is the winner of that, not only is the face of revolution, they get a future title shot against whoever the champion is. In this case, it's Kenny Omega. So Lance Archer's in there, right?
Is he qualified?
He qualified. And guess who else is in there, guys?
Cody. Also, now, Penta Zero. Did Penta Zero qualify?
Yeah, no, Penta Zero didn't qualify. I think he's just in there. Yeah, and Cody's just in there. But why the fuck is Cody in there?
I don't know.
He can't challenge for the fucking title.
Well, whoever wins this ladder match gets a TNT title shot.
TNT title shot?
Yes.
It's not for the regular title?
No.
Oh, I thought it was for the Kenny Omega title.
No, it's for the Darby Allin title.
Oh, okay. Then it makes more sense. Then all right.
But why do these two guys have to qualify? First of all, I would rather have Rey Fénix in this fucking match than Cody or the I forget who the other guy was that was not Penta. I would rather have a fucking. Why does Rey Fénix have to like fucking fight and lose after all the great performances he's given, but Cody just gets in the match? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that's true too. That's fucking stupid. Anyways, well, you do not need to watch this episode as well.
No, it was, you can watch the last match if you can find it somewhere, but it was a very, we're just killing a week. Dude, they're too new to have episodes like this, bro.
Yeah, I would say it's not the worst episode of Dynamite I've ever seen, but it's just an okay episode.
It's just like 2 hours of 2 hours of TV that led to nowhere. Yeah. It had no excitement. No energy to it.
I'll even go this far. If you were like really in a, I need an AEW fix this week, watch Dark. I would even recommend Dark.
That's what you want to give. I mean, I don't believe in that show. I think it's racist, but okay.
At least it'll be more enjoyable. That's it.
That's it, guys. Listen, we will be back on Friday for NXT UK 205 Live and the B Show SmackDown. We'll see you then.
Yeah.